CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Post Valentine's Day Monday, the special time. Gareth is not here today. He was at a wedding over the weekend, so he'll be back tomorrow. So Mubs and I holding down the fort as we like to do. Good morning, Mubs.
Hello.
How are you doing today?
Good.
That's very nice. CS and Grinny Finn will be here just now as well. Michael Flax is here. Say hello, Michael.
Good morning, good morning.
We had some lightning around yesterday, so if we do sound a bit tinnier than usual, it could just probably be my headphones, or we do apologize.
That was the most hectic storm last night. I actually drove into the Sandton area. You could see lightning bolts hitting things. That's how hectic it was. And then it just disappeared.
I felt the car vibrate at one stage because it was lightning so close. It was kind
of
creepy.
I was driving down one of those roads where like the trees sort of like cave it in.
Yeah.
And you would have to dodge because lightning had struck tree branches, like massive tree branches, and they had fallen. The most hectic storm.
Wow.
I still don't know whether or not it's dangerous to be in your car when there's a hectic lightning storm, or do your tires take care of that whole being struck by the bolt thing?
I didn't do science in school, but you have the tires to help you out there, Mubs. If
and
we all drove around on metal, we'd be screwed.
The car's built in a way that the roof isn't flat. It's actually sort of a cave. So as soon as it hits the top of the roof, it gets dispersed around the vehicle, not in one center point, and then sort of gets led off into the ground, I think.
Okay, well, if you've ever been struck by lightning, please let us know, because we've got our theories. And
No, I mean, a lot of people have been struck by lightning.
But like in your car, though.
Not in your car.
It would be kind of shitty if you're driving and suddenly you get that. But I'm pretty sure the tires, that's why, you know, rubber tires.
Yeah.
It's the way forward. So anyway, it's a new week, and Gareth will be back tomorrow. So if you were looking to start the week with Mr. Cliff, unfortunately you got us. But we're getting better. I think we're getting better. I think we can do this whole hosting. And we will do so today. So, your normal Monday, we're going to inform you about all the things that happened over the weekend. We've got Rich Mulholland coming in. Michael, what's happening in that third hour?
Gareth interviews Natey Kirsch, businessman, one of the best, they say.
Okay.
So, I'm very excited to listen to that interview.
Well, there you have it. So, packed 3 hours show, as always. But I got to start off by telling you today, you know, last week I was a cripple.
Well,
I was like Quasimodo. I was walking in here like I had three backs. It was terrible.
I still don't know what you did to your back, but anyway.
Well, anyway, it went into a hardcore spasm. I couldn't stand up straight. I could barely sit, and it was a mess.
Yeah.
If I sounded off color last week, I apologize. Anyway, so I was thinking like, okay, I need to go to a chiropractor, and someone said, no, I'd rather go to a physio because physios treat the muscles, which causes the back pain and all that kind of stuff. It makes a lot more sense to me. Chiropractors just sort of click you around a bit. So,
you know, that whole chiropractor versus physio debate has caused wars, as I've observed. But carry on.
Well, also, Damon was a physio. Sorry, a chiropractor, wasn't he?
Backstreet chiropractor.
Okay.
He never qualified, which is why we call him a backstreet chiropractor. He studied, but he never qualified.
Okay, so that was the coin for me. So anyway, this friend tells me, you've got to go see this dude, okay? He's the best. He's quite unconventional, but he's the best. And right now, I will take a car crash just to get my back right. It was so bad. Like, it was horrendous. It was so painful. So I go to this dude, okay, on Friday. He manages to slip me in 9:30 appointment. So I go there. But, like, I'm walking so bad. I walk in, and I just say to the guy, look, I'm a little bit broken. And he goes, yeah, I can tell by the way you're walking. I resembled a 70-year-old man who just played a game of rugby. It was that bad.
Mm.
So you walk in, okay, like panpipe music playing. It's that full-on, like, you know, salon spa vibe. And he goes, cool, we'll just strip down to your underwear and I'll be there in a second.
Sorry, why must you take your clothes off?
Well, you've got to go into the back. He just like the full body, okay?
Can't you just take your shirt off? Why must you take your pants off as well?
He had to get into your back.
Yeah, but through the whole... Wait, look,
through the what?
Let me just tell you the whole story, and
okay,
then you can start judgment. So anyway, like I've been to various massages. I've done the Thais. I've done the Swedish. Like, pretty much everything.
Mm.
So it's quite commonplace, really. You strip down to your jocks, and on you go. Okay, now you're lying tummy down. And he's quite a big guy. He's quite a big guy. So he sort of loops you up and just goes straight out. And he's like, within 20 seconds, he's like, hey, right, your back is really misaligned here. you're very tight and stiff. Here, here, here. The guy kind of knew what my problem was. And then for the next 25 minutes, it was a blur of me laughing, absolute agony, clicks. I've never heard clicks before. And afterwards, I wasn't sure if we were in a relationship. Should I call him? Like, it was such a...
Should you send him a Valentine's Day present?
I mean, exactly. Like, when I could see him again, it was so disorientating. But at the same time, I felt like a human being again. But it was crazy. And you had these funny machines that, like baby fists just going at you.
Oh, that sounds like fun.
And he puts because your glutes get all tight, right? So there's just pounding. He goes, okay, I'm gonna drill you. Don't take it badly.
That really sounds like fun.
But like there was times where I just couldn't keep a straight face. What was going on? And he was just throwing me around, and it was incredible. it was essentially life changing.
But at any point, did he stand and walk on you? Did he fold you into a pretzel? Did he stretch you out on some device?
There was definite folding in place, and then he was hitting pressure points, Mubs. But some of the pressure points were in, you know, kind of the middle area.
Oh, okay.
Of the body.
Oh, I'm sorry. So you reacted to some of the stimulation.
Well, look, it's not like every day you get sort of physioed in there, you know.
Look, it makes sense to me. Everything, you know, all your nerves are connected to all sorts of things. And it makes sense to me that, you know, when he hits certain points, you'd be like, ooh, can we do that again?
But that's the thing. Like, he stopped and I was like, okay, because I felt so bad the whole week. This is the first time I actually felt like the pain wasn't, like, all-consuming. Mm. Morning, Sia.
You know it's going to be a good day when you hear the likes of, yeah, he drilled me and it was so good.
Okay, we'll get to your weekend in a second, Sia. Calm down.
I was enjoying that so much. Please continue, Ben.
Yeah, so...
So you're cured?
I was actually... I was really in a bad way. So it's going to take a bit more than just one thrash and bash.
Oh, so you're going to go back for...
Well, I was thinking, right, this guy is so good that I think I should go back once a month anyway. Just because he keeps you in check. He works your muscles like they should be worked, and wow.
I think you've now fallen for him, and you want more. I think you want a relationship.
And that's what it feels like. Look, you guys can laugh it up all you want, but I mean, I swear by this. If you're ever in pain, just let me know. You got to go see this guy. He's like 6'2". He's got a bit of a ponytail.
Oh my! But what, wow. Like a Steven Seagal ponytail?
Yeah,
he'd be like Slovakian.
No, I reckon he's local. But sure, he runs a good shop. Anyway, so then that's plus medication, and I'm actually, yeah, I can sit again. Look, I can turn. See this? I can turn.
Yeah, you can.
I was like a broken chassis last week.
You shame. You looked very compromised last week.
That was dreadful. But anyway, Valentine's weekend. So, Sia, any romance that we should know about? Any dates?
No, actually. I just had a very chilled weekend.
That is a terrible strike rate. You haul in about 6 numbers a week, and you're telling me Valentine's weekend was just a chilled weekend at home.
Valentine's Day can be every day. It's not just one day a week.
Oh, that is such a lie.
See, cut the Oprah. What happened?
No,
I just told you a very personal story how a man physically changed my life.
You go on with your bad self and Steven Seagal. Others on the other side were just very neutral and calm.
You know, the last Valentine's Day that I celebrated with my ex, we did this whole thing where we planned a romantic dinner, you know, and like there was effort put into the day. And by the end of it all, at night when we were laying there in bed, we were like, oh my gosh, that was so much hard work. Let's not do that again.
Wow.
Because, you know, you go out to the restaurant and they charge you 5 million times more because, yes, you know, it is a special day and there's all these expectations and then you're supposed to go home and then if the sex isn't great, you're like, meh. And then by the end of it all, we were just both lying there going, oh my gosh, let's just not bother with this stuff ever again.
Is it like really worth it?
It's really, like, it's too much.
I'm trying to picture this, you and romance. It's quite something.
No. She doesn't even like to say make love, so it's more like, ugh. I don't like roses anyway.
But let's ask Flex about his day, because he made big plans for him and the lady.
Yeah, Michael, you're in the newest part of the relationship zone. What happened with yours?
So usually for Valentine's Day, I go with all the commercial stuff, the most expensive restaurant, the most expensive that. But this year I went for effort. So I put in a lot of effort into the gift. She wanted black roses, which were impossible. So I got a balloon artist to make black roses out of balloons. And wow. Then, Also, she made this gift where it was like a... I tweeted it out yesterday. She sort of like wrote a message on a cardboard, but used like chocolate bars for like missing words and stuff like that.
With your history, that's a bit cruel.
So we went for the effort things. Like, we didn't go fancy dinners. I think we went to Wimpy for breakfast. And then we had... what did we have? We had Indian for dinner last night. It was very chilled. And then we went house hunting the whole of yesterday.
Excuse me now?
Whoa, okay, sorry. Hold up. House hunting as in the two...
We're moving in together.
Is she back now?
Yeah, she leaves for Durban. She goes back to Durban today.
Yeah, okay, look. I mean, Durban, Joburg, that's back. Mm. I mean, is overseas done now?
Yeah, overseas is done. She's back staying in South Africa.
So your long-distance relationship is now pretty much ZA?
Yeah, and now we're going to move in together.
Hold up. You guys know that I absolutely love you guys. Liz is the biz. But you guys are moving in together.
Yeah, found the sickest pad.
Okay.
What does Mama Flex think about this exactly?
Well, Sitsia.
Listen, she's cool and calm and collected right now. But I think as moving day comes, there's going to be some howling and crying.
You know she's gonna move in with you.
Exactly.
She's gonna make sure she'll carry every box. She'll put up the curtains. And before you know it, it's Monday. She's coming around for dinner. Tuesday's coming around for dinner. Mm. She'll come around and do your washing.
Nah, I'm telling you, she's very chilled about this.
Well, like I'm impressed. This is a really big step. So, I mean, were you two just looking at like a nice little studio apartment somewhere? Do you have anything in mind?
We found a 7-bedroom, 4-bath. I'm joking. Yeah. So we're moving into, I'm not saying where, but it's these cool new like places. It's a new in thing for kids our age. Well, not kids, like adults our age to move into. So it's sort of like a whole bunch of flats, very modern. And then it has like a lifestyle center. So the lifestyle center offers you free gym. It's got a indoor soccer court, it's got a squash court, it's got a restaurant. It's so dope. And it's just young people. Probably like 22 to 30.
Oh, very nice.
It must be like maybe 1,000 flats.
Wow, whereabouts is this?
I'm not saying. Because then everyone will stalk me and paparazzi and that.
Oh, totally.
Oh, but this is what you want, Flex. You want to be stalked. That's why you hang around with the likes of AKA and them, right? Because you want to be famous.
And people really want to come around and know that you just dropped a log.
I know, but I want it all to take it at its own pace. I don't want to push anything.
I'm sorry. I'll just be this guy. Yeah. Flex, do you understand the responsibility of moving out?
Well, I've already got internet. I've got one of those data bundle thingies.
But Flex, do you understand that, like, you have to... like,
there's also this thing called... bills.
Adulting, basically.
Yeah, I mean, Beyonce brought that up ages ago.
Water, electricity is prepaid. Comes to maybe like 200, 300 a month.
What?
You can't have a proper gauge of that if you haven't lived in a place. You know, one of my friends made the perfect example. When I was potentially moving out of home, she goes, listen, you have no idea how much moving out will impact you, because it's the little things. Like, she invited all of her friends over, you know, a little housewarming party, and she realized then, she's like, oh shucks, I actually don't even have like a bowl for sugar. It's those little things that you have no idea about. It's like responsibility in so many ways. But okay, let me not be there.
Yeah, but like, hobbies are kind of fun, because as a couple, then you get it together and it's like a bit of a learning experience. It's kind of cutesy and stuff.
Okay. Like a Jennifer Aniston comedy.
Yeah, a little bit. But then obviously there's rent and there's furniture. These are the two big things.
You see, furniture, we've worked our way around that. See, I'll take whatever I can from my house. And then her mom's also moving houses. So we're going to go shopping at that house as well. And whatever we can take there, we hustlers.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Michael, this is a big step. Let me say, I congratulate you on this.
I'm just excited. There's an indoor soccer court where we're moving.
Okay, you got it all planned out.
Yeah.
Are you going to have a big housewarming?
Probably not, because then you have to clean it the next day.
Mm-hmm. Well, Michael, gone are the days of the bachelor house. Hey, look at you. Going to create your own one.
Bachelor pads come to an end. All the members are now in relationships.
Oh, sad, sad days. Last night, I went to go watch Deadpool, and it was incredible.
Oh, hang on. A movie that Ben liked?
It was so good. It was just so, so good. I don't know where to start, but unlike my review of The Revenant, I think it's called The Revenant, huh?
The Revenant, yeah.
Such a
And Leo has been cleaning up at awards shows with that one.
Well, Deadpool was so much better. Just so much better. As a comedy, it was really funny. As an action movie, it kicked all the asses it could possibly kick. You know, it's been like 10 years in the making, this movie. Ryan Reynolds had this idea of the superhero who is just like a badass, but he doesn't play by the rules, etc., etc. And it took him this long to get this movie up and going.
Oh, so was this his brainchild?
Pretty much. And $135 million it took on Valentine's weekend. In Russia, it was the biggest opening ever.
Wow. It must have felt like a huge risk after what he did with that Green Lantern movie, which was a big, huge disappointment.
Yeah, it's horrible, horrible.
So it's good to see him redeem himself.
So, I just got to tell you, it is a great first date movie. It involves the song Wham. Wham! It's just so cool, it's so funny, it's so clever. And then, like, there's so many piss takes about the X-Men. Because, like, you go to the cinema, right, and you see all the trailers. It's Superman versus Batman. It's Captain America, and he's having a sulk with Iron Man.
Mm.
And it's all like, oh, God, I'm not going to see that. And then Deadpool comes on, and it just pulls the piss out of, like, Wolverine, all the, like, the X-Men house, and all these kind of things. It is so clever, and it's one of the best movies I think I've seen since, I don't know. It's just a long time since I watched a movie that I could recommend so highly.
Hmm.
I thought it was an amazing movie, bar 20 minutes, which are a blur to me.
Sia fell asleep. It was so funny. I looked to my left and there Sia passed out.
It was. Listen, okay, granted, the day of the movie premiere, I had woken up at 3:30. Don't blame me, blame my crazy parents. And so from waking up at 3:30, coming to work, a long day at the office, and then going to the movie premiere afterwards, I was just counting the hours till I could go to bed. So watched like the first 1 hour 10 minutes, and then from there sort of like dipped into sleep, woke up right at the end. I was like, oh, okay, so clearly things had happened and someone was saved and then someone else nearly died. I don't know what happened.
Well, see, go watch it again on your next date, which is probably tomorrow.
Yeah,
you should definitely go watch it. Make up your chill Valentine's.
Actually tonight
anyway. Okay, come, Dish. See ya.
I'll tell you all about it tomorrow. If
no,
it
you will
well.
Not. You'll tell it. You'll pre us now. What is going on?
No. I'll tell you all about it tomorrow.
You know, this is not how it works, all right? I mean, I know we don't have contracts here, but come on. See ya.
Oh.
You can't just be so coy the whole time.
It's not about being
People
coy.
People want to know.
It's not about raising. It's not about raising too, like, too high of an expectation and then things, like, fail dismally.
I'm gonna play Wham.
Now.
I'm gonna play Wham until you tell us.
Yeah, come on. Just tell us one thing, even if you make it up.
What can I tell you? It's someone who lives in Cape Town, so it's literally just like 2 seconds.
Is it the guy from Espresso? Is it the final? Is this happening? I didn't even know he was gay.
No, Gatlakuma boy is not gay.
Okay, we'll carry on. It's better. See, when you open up, the audience opens up too. We've got messages coming in.
No,
right here.
Stop that now.
It says, Sia Dish.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Carol
says, Sia, tell us.
Anyway. Yeah, no, it's just someone who lives in Cape Town going to see the vibe, check out the scene, because you never know when you might bump into each other again, and that's all.
I think every time Sia starts talking nowadays, we must do this.
Thank you. Can we move on now? Because I'm turning the room.
I guess we can move on. Keep messages coming in on WeChat. Give us a call. Michael, what's the number again?
0861-555-189.
So I started the show by telling you about my amazing body physiotherapy session. There was no funny play involved, but it was very much a moving experience for me. So if you've had a similar session recently, whether it be a chiropractor, physio, dentist, whatever, let us know, because these things do take a big part of our lives.
Or if you have a terrible experience. My brother broke his forearm as a child, and then decades later, he had to go into see a chiropractor for another reason, and the chiropractor reignited the injury from his broken arm.
Oh,
and
my gosh.
And he walked out of that session feeling worse than when he'd walked in. So I'm very much anti chiropractors, and I'm scared to death of them. And so if I ever need any kind of fixing or adjusting, I'm just going to have to do the physio, or I'm going to be screwed for life.
Yeah, all mobs. Sure. On the messages, Tyrell said that Deadpool was amazing. Ryan Reynolds seemed to have so much freedom to do what he wanted. He just made it so awesome. Completely. You could just tell that character was just him. And it was so, so good. Robert, I wasn't at the screening last week because I had a prior engagement. So sorry, I'll meet you at the next one. Did you hear about this... I heard something over the weekend, and seeing as I know the least about Beyonce, I was going to throw it up into you guys. I was going to play this clip. Apparently, Beyonce did something quite, let's just say, racially provocative at the Super Bowl about the Black Panthers and.
Well, a lot of people have been complaining about it, some even saying that she's a racist.
Well, Mavs, let me just play a clip quickly. I hope this is going to work.
Guess what, Beyonce? White people like your music too. White people buy your songs on iTunes, memorize your lyrics, and admire your talent and beauty. Little white girls want to be like you just as little black girls do. But instead of recognizing that, you would rather perpetuate the great battle of the races. Your husband was a drug dealer. For 14 years, he sold crack cocaine. Talk about protecting black neighborhoods. Start at home. Those are my final thoughts. Thanks for watching.
Okay, it's very much a shortened clip. Michael, we try to get the whole clip sometime. It's pretty funny. So this girl, I'm just assuming it's Fox News.
Why are you assuming that?
Oh, come on. So she has a proper go, apparently. That, you know, like, there were all these memes about Beyonce suddenly black, and there was all these different things after her halftime show.
Mm.
So this woman's going on about the fact that, you know, everyone wants to get along, and this country's made such great steps, but now Beyonce's taking it back because all she wants is attention.
Oh,
she's not doing anything, like, productive here. So, yeah, you know more about Beyonce.
I don't understand. Okay, so the whole... The new song formation, even the music video, is very, I wouldn't even say politically charged. It just speaks of the times that America and black people in America are in right now. So, for example, there are references to New Orleans and Hurricane Katrina and how that whole situation was dealt with, because a large part of the video is just Beyonce on a police car in the middle of water. And so there's all about the shootings as well, you know, says, please don't shoot us, with a black man in a hoodie with his hands raised. So it's little things like that that speak of the times. And I do not understand, not that I don't understand, but I just don't get why people are getting so riled up about Beyonce now being so outspoken. I think if you have that sort of platform and that reach to so many people, then definitely say something that's worth it. But I think the better question rather that was raised was people saying, it's all good and well that Beyonce, you know, said a lot, but it's the Super Bowl at the end of the day. So, for example, if an actor went up on the Oscar stage or the Grammys to accept an award, is it the right place for you to actually be so outspoken
about
something?
Yes, they do it all the time. That's why you find tons of actresses going up to collect their golden statue and talking about inequality of how women in Hollywood are paid less than men. They do that on the stage as they're accepting their award.
Exactly. But
I think people are upset with Beyonce because a lot of people probably just want her to be a hot woman with a nice ass who shakes it all day long, and then all of a sudden when she talks about real issues, they're like, whoa, we can't deal, we just want you to be this flimsy bimbo-y pretty thing to look at who shakes her ass,
telling guys to put a ring on it.
I think that's why people are upset at Beyonce.
But that woman sounded so angry, like her tone was really like, fuck you, Beyonce. I hate you. You know, seriously, I mean, when was the last time you spoke about someone like this, Mavs?
White people buy your songs on iTunes, memorize your lyrics, and admire your talent and beauty. The great battle of the races. Your husband was a drug dealer.
Your husband was a
drug
dealer.
For 14 years, he sold crack.
Wow, angry as hell.
What's a reference to that? What does that even mean? Why do you have to bring it up?
It's the whole thing. You can't, you know, you're so holy than now that your husband sold crack. So does that mean the empire is based on Jay-Z?
No.
I don't know. Hey.
I'm just trying to find meaning in this crazy mixed up world.
I don't know.
Do you guys think that it was inappropriate of Beyonce to raise these issues at a national huge event like the Super Bowl?
Inappropriate?
Yeah.
No.
Well,
because that's what a lot of people are saying. They're just like, let us be Super Bowl. We just want to relax. It's with our families. Why do you have to bring your beliefs onto us right now?
Well,
Well, these are
good questions.
These are big problems that the Americans are dealing with right now, though.
Mm.
So, are they trying to bury their heads in the sand?
That's basically what it is.
Also, Beyonce doesn't know that you exist, angry woman in the video. She doesn't know that you exist. I guarantee you she doesn't care.
Yeah, you try to tell trolls that, or Fox.
You know what? I really think, just if you haven't watched the video yet and you just have an opinion on it, watch the music video with an open mind and then say something about it. I really do think it pushes the right buttons.
Well, thank you, Sia. And on that note, we shall take a little break. We've got the sport coming up. Anthea is in studio today, which is always nice.
Yeah.
And then we've got Rich Mulholland a little bit later. And, yeah, just your usual Monday. So thanks for joining us. And we're going to take a little music break as well.
Choice. Sometimes you have it, and sometimes you don't. Auto Trader gives you the choice. Now you can shop, compare, and buy new cars. Watch our expert video reviews and research before you buy. Auto Trader New Car. The choice is yours.
Welcome back. First half hour done. Gareth's not here today. He went to a wedding over the weekend. And, well, Gareth needs some time off from time to time. He's a very busy man. If he's not in court, he's on TV. If he's not in TV, well, he's here. He does a hell of a lot. So, you know, we've got to give him some time off from time to time. We can't keep slave driving him. And I think that's the official word. So he'll be back tomorrow. But, Mubs, you know what time it is now?
It's time for the sport.
Oh, what a weekend. Yep. Proteas won the ODI series.
Oh. Woo-hoo. Oh, okay. That's good news, right?
It is really good news, Mubs, because, look, I thought England would do it, right? They started off like a house on fire. They were 2-0 up. But when you kind of factor everything in, a lot of these guys have been here since middle of December, right? Middle of December, living out of a bag, sweaty jock straps, all that kind of stuff, with the same people, drinking the same beer.
Prostitutes every week.
It must, yeah, exactly. The pound versus rand means you can do it if you want. It does make for quite a tough environment to be in. So, they lost a bit of steam by losing in Centurion. They then went to the Wanderers on Friday. I was at that match, the big pink ODI, where so much money was raised for the pink drive, which is really, really great for all the sponsors and everyone who got involved. Thank you very much. And England had the chance to win it. They essentially dropped the whole series. Adil Rashid, Chris Morris skied the ball. Rashid dropped it. Morris went on to make 62, and that was a one-wicket win by South Africa. It was a thrilling one-day encounter, and one that just kind of shows that the format has got so much to give cricket. People are saying that, you know, maybe you should be scrapped just T20 and Tests from now on. It's such a good game, though, and even though the sand of cricket wasn't amazing over the weekend, it's a cool format to play with. So, that then brought us to Sunday, which was the final match, and was played in Cape Town. That was the decider. And SA won the toss and elected a field. Now, the average first inning score at Newlands is about 220-something. 240-plus, they've only been chased down once. So when England kind of stuttered their way to 236, well, it was always going to be a manageable total for the Proteas. But then suddenly they were 3 wickets down for 22 runs. JP Duminy was dropped for essentially running Epi de Villiers out on Friday, and his replacement, Riley Rousseau, well, he could manage just 4 runs, which was a big shame. I had massive hopes for Riley Rousseau. I was one calling for his inclusion in the team, but he did bugger all. But thankfully, Hashim Amla and Epi de Villiers came together. They got a huge partnership, over 100 runs. Amla gave his wicket away, as did Behardin, but it was fine because AB scored 101 runs. What a champion. What an absolute legend. And in the words of Journey, he just told his team to keep believing, and they won it. 3-2, which now goes into the T20 series. Two more matches for the English, and boy, would they want to get home now. Because another thing is, they want to get home because then they go, literally, I think it's like a 12-day layover, and then they go to the T20 World Cup in India.
Sure.
And who said it's easy, huh?
Doesn't sound like it's easy.
Life of a professional cricketer. Very, very tough. So well done, Proteas. They're very, very good. Sadly, the SA ladies couldn't replicate that. They lost to the English ladies in the match played at the Wanderers. Suddenly they lost that series 2-1. In Test cricket, New Zealand got absolutely thrashed at home by Australia. Australia, well, they rolled them out for 183 in the first innings. And then their reply was 562 runs. 562 runs. That is incredible. New Zealand bowled out for 327. So they lost by an innings and 52 runs in the end.
What is this?
I don't think, what is this? I don't think we ever got to the stage in the sports song. Wow. Anyway, moving on to the English Premier League. What a weekend that was. So many goals, all the big games. So basically, Saturday, Man United, they lost again. Man United.
Yay.
What to do? What to do with Louis van Gaal? Well, they're going to go... Okay, so how it works is, if you're a team like Man United and you don't make Europe, basically, cock on block and they chop. That's just, that's what it is, okay? There's no way around it. That's what's going to happen to Louis van Gaal. So, if you look at the log now, Man United sit in fifth, but they are 6 points behind fourth. So, you need to get into that top four, or you can win the Europa League. Now, the Europa League is what Spurs play in up until now. We will get to that in a second. So, if you win the Europa League, you get into the Champions League. So, Man United have got a hell of a lot to do against teams you've never ever heard of. I think on Thursday they're playing some team from Denmark or something. So it's not looking very good for them. But I tell you what it is looking good for. It's looking good for Spurs. And Spurs, now, they beat Man City 2-1 away, which now means they're in second. First is still Leicester, though, even though they lost 2-1 to Arsenal. Now, Arsenal, here's a team that disappoints. They're a bit like the Proteas. They can be absolutely amazing or they can be very disappointing. Sadly, I support both. So Leicester were down to 10 men. They got the defender was sent off, and Arsenal managed a winner with the last kick of the match. Danny Welbeck came back from injury, scored a fantastic free kick, 2-1 to Arsenal at the Emirates. So Arsenal with a huge, huge win there, because if they lost that one, well, you could say that their title aspirations would have taken a massive dent, a huge crash, actually. So Leicester, they dropped points, but they're still leading, so that's 53 points for them. Spurs, they beat Man City, so they're in second now, 51 points, with a greater goal difference over Arsenal, who are in third. Man City, that's another loss for them, so they're in fourth on 47 points. And then we've got a bit of a gap. Man United, 41 points. Southampton, 40 points. West Ham, 40. And Liverpool, they beat Aston Villa 6-0. Huge result for them. But all the way back at 38 points on 8th position. Well, they're not going to really do much. But still, hopefully they can entertain their supporters who don't have to pay any more money, which is really good. There's 12 games remaining now. So that's what the log stands right now. We're going to get into this more often. Well, more in depth, sorry. Today on The Bounce Show. That's my sporting show every week here on Monday, 10 to 11 a.m., and I'll tell you exactly what the run-in is for these teams and how strong Leicester can be going into this. Will they slip up? Will Spurs take it? Will Arsenal's class shine through, or will Man City do the impossible? I think that's basically the equation there for those four teams. Whew, what a fiery start. Six Nations over the weekend. Now, last week, not for sensational value, I just said I'm pretty much more excited than anything to watch a Six Nations this year rather than Super Rugby. And, well, you know, the games might be kind of low scoring, but very, very entertaining. France, well, there are very, very low hopes in France this year, but they managed to beat Ireland at home, 20 points to 19. They were down for a while. Sorry, what am I saying? That's the wrong score. 10-9. No, what am I saying? It's wrong. Anyway, France won by a point. Okay, mixed up notes here. They won by a point, which means that Ireland, well, they drew last week, they lost this week, they're battered and bruised. I don't see them getting ahead, because the other two winners of the weekend, Wales, they beat Scotland 27-13. A very interesting win, that one, because Scotland aren't as crap as they used to be. There's no doubt about that. They showed decent glimpses in the World Cup of the fact that they're on the way up. And they scored a late try to kind of make the result a bit more flattering. But Wales are good. Wales are solid. And if Dan Biggar stays fit, if he can play the rest of the matches, they're looking very, very good. And then the result that everyone knew would take place, but the margin was just very impressive here. England went to Rome and they beat Italy 40 points to 9. That is a huge, huge win. Eddie Jones said they were going to give him a smack. So well then, Eddie, you called it. So it's England or Wales, really. I know France are current top of the log because they've had two wins. They beat Ireland and they beat Italy. But I think they're going to come really unstuck. And I can't even see them beating Scotland, actually. I wouldn't be surprised if that result goes the other way. Anyway, tonight in Varsity Cup action, NMMU are playing Marties. That's 4:45. Tux versus the Shimlers at 6:30. CUT versus UCT at 6:30. And then Pukka take on UJ at 7. All those matches this evening. Because Varsity Cup's a big deal, especially if you're studying right now. Good luck getting through those Tuesday hangovers. In golf, Charles Schwartzel absolutely obliterated the field at the Schwane Open. George Casillas was the defending champion there, but unfortunately he could not hit any fairways in his home course. which was a bit depressing for him. But Schwarzl, wow, what a champion. I mean, here's a guy who won the Alfred Dunhill, okay? And then you got the violent shits. I mean, the guy literally fell out of his arsehole. There was nothing left of him. He was in and out of hospital. He had such chronic illness that he couldn't play. He couldn't play the SA Open, and he's been out of action. Come Schwane Open, though, wow, guy was back on song. Huh? He really was just the cut above. He was just a cut above everyone else. And the great thing about these champions is that even though they go in and out and they sort of fall back into the field, when they get into the zone that Schwarzl was, suddenly there's only them and the rest. So he won by 8 shots, an amazing 8 shots, with rounds of 71, 64, 66, and 63. Just blew everyone away there. So that's a big, it's another European Tour title for him, and nice return to form. AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am, that's what they play with all the celebrities. Vaughan Taylor wins that one by 1 shot. There's a guy that was near death not so long ago. 65 in the final round there, and he won. Starts out of the field, beating, well, a lot of more favoured people. Oh, that was Sporting Weekend.
I don't understand. If you're an athlete and you are sick with, I don't know, a stomach bug or the flu or you have diarrhea, why would you go out and compete when you know that you're already a step behind your other competitors who are healthy?
Well, Mabs, like I said, he was. That's why he took a big layoff. So there was, he was so ill. This is his first time back, his first gig back.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So it's very important that we're all on the same page here on the sport. And that is it. But today on The Bounce Show, 10 until 11 o'clock, that is what you're looking forward to today. In-depth sport. We've got a great debate. I'm taking someone on about the pros and cons of one-day cricket. And then Daniel Gallen from Conquer Sports will be back. Babs, do you want to just give us a quick rundown of just the shows? You don't have to get into everything else. Just the shows we've got to look forward to for the rest of the day before Anthea.
Well, it is Monday. So, of course, TG Squared is around to make Monday your biatch. Yeah. With Dusty Rich this morning. So, no Nina and no Trevor.
Okay.
You mentioned you doing the Bounce Show at 10 o'clock.
Yeah, very good show there.
Young, Wild and Free from 11 to 12. Then at 12 o'clock, we've got the Leadership Platform. 1 o'clock is Business Skills Conversation. And then at, this is all part of the Leadership Platform, by the way, because it's 3 hours long now.
Yeah, they take over on a Monday, huh?
They literally run the ship. And then at 2, still with the Leadership Platform, they've got a conversation with an SME audience. That's a small to medium businesses. Leadership in Education at 2:30. Then at 3 o'clock is the Pan-African Connect. And we're going to wrap things up with Kalman on Cliff Central at 4 p.m.
Fantastic. And now, you know what time it is? Oh, the suspense. Good morning, Anthea. Happy Monday.
Good morning, Ben. Happy Monday to you, too. It's the original, right?
Donna Summer?
Yeah.
Indeed.
Almost as good as my version.
Almost, but not quite.
Yeah.
You know, I believe there should be a new rule. When you're actually in the studio here, you get the original. When you're on Skype, you get your version.
Okay. And fair when enough. Do you guys sing for me? Which part of the day of the week is that?
Well, we're still waiting for Sia to come good on this.
I've already sung for you, actually.
This is true.
Yeah.
Thanks, my buddy.
I'm the only committed person here.
All right, let's put it down. Next week. I need a week of rehearsal.
Sia, next week, Monday.
Yeah.
This is you.
Perfect.
We're trying to get Sia to do more on the show. We feel that, you know, he doesn't share. He's come out of his shell more. I mean, Michael told us big revelations earlier about moving in with his girlfriend. Sia, you're the next. Right, Anthea, so what's happening with our money? Or more importantly, your money?
Okay. So on Friday, the Aussie closed 2.5% up. So we had a nice little bounce. Unfortunately, for the week, the market was still 3% lower. And year to date, it's about 1.5% off since the 31st of December. The Rand was nice and strong last week. Well, on Friday, I should say, not last week. Mm-hmm. It was about 1% stronger against the dollar, which normally would mean that resources would come off because they're Rand hedge. And so the stronger Rand is bad for resources. But actually, resources bounced over 5% on Friday. For the week, though, they're down about 90 basis points, so almost 1%. Let me just say, on the Rand is stronger, not because of anything fundamental in the country or because great State of the Nation addresses, but because of a weaker dollar. So we are expecting delayed interest rate hikes in the U.S., which means that the dollar, which had priced in kind of a rate hike sooner, is now weaker. So resources, ArcelorMittal was up 24% on Friday. I mean, that is just unbelievable. They did release their full year results, and I'm sorry Gareth's not here because this is such an interesting story, and I almost think he wanted to give me a heads up 2 weeks ago. Just quickly on the results, because he was talking about steel and what was happening in the steel industry.
Mm-hmm.
So full year results, total sales were down 11%. Revenue was down 11%. They made a headline loss of almost 5.5 billion rand, and yet the share price was up 24%. Now something's going on here, right?
There certainly is.
Yeah. None of this makes sense.
Do we know what it is?
Well, this is the thing. So a couple of weeks ago, Gareth was saying that we're suffering, the steel industry is suffering, because China is importing really low-cost steel. And in fact, the CEO of ArcelorMittal came out on Friday and said a couple of interesting things. The first thing he said was that he admits that since, almost the longest time, as far back as 2004, they have been behaving monopolistically. Is that a word? In other words,
I'm sure it is, but it doesn't have a definition. That's a big one.
So they were
like a monopoly.
Yes, they were acting like a monopoly.
They're verbing a monopoly.
And unfair pricing. So they were putting through increases or higher prices because they could, basically. That's what he said. And now they've basically gone to government and said, okay, please forgive us, because we really need your help. So China's you know where this is going, Mavs. So China's bringing in cheap steel. Please, can you help us? Please, can you put in place safeguards against these cheap imports? Very interesting, right? I don't know what to make of that, actually. I like the cheek of it.
Yeah, really.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, if they just had the ability to kind of pull the piss this whole time until suddenly China gives a reality check, it's like, well, hang on a second.
That's pretty much it, yes.
It's so depressing with this because, I mean, they're not doing something too ethical here, but at the same time, we don't need the job losses.
That's right.
If that's going to happen, then obviously the employment factor is going to be sort of kicked.
Yeah, things get worse, right?
Yeah.
They did say that they had been given the largest fine ever paid to the commission, which is 1.5 billion rand. So ArcelorMittal are being fined because of this unfair pricing practice that they're going through. But Flaherty, who is the CEO, said that they do expect the government to do something about it. Do you know what was interesting was that not last week, the week before, Leslie Marsdorp was in town, and he's now the VP of the BRICS Bank. He's the South African that's gone to the BRICS Bank with Tito Mboweni. And he was in Joburg. I happen to know this. And I thought he was here to come and fetch Nhlanhla Nene. But actually, it came out last week that he's doing a deal with ArcelorMittal. So he is going to be their BEE partner through a consortium that he does for them. So I thought that was kind of a bit odd. But why I'm saying that as well is because Flaherty, who's the CEO of ArcelorMittal, said that not only had he gone to the South African government and asked them to put these protection mechanisms in place, but he'd actually gone to some of the other governments as well, like basically 64 governments. And the funny thing about that number is that it's the same number of members at the African Development Bank. So it's the US, Korea, Japan, most of Europe, so UK, France, Belgium, Holland, all of them. So he's obviously kind of working, helping ArcelorMittal, I think, it sounds like. He might be. I'm speculating, of course. He might be helping ArcelorMittal get these kind of tariff safeguards in place, if you like. So that was definitely an interesting one. And I'll be watching that carefully because I want to see what happens. And why the shares up year to date, or sorry, for the last year, 81% actually blows my mind when they're making a 5.5 billion rand loss.
So are you suspecting something dodgy, something suspicious, bordering on the illegal side?
Oh, I know. I don't think illegal. I don't think a company this big can do anything too illegal. And especially now that they've come out and said, oh, we apologize for our monopolistic behavior. But there's something going on, you know. Maybe the government will listen to them.
Now, forgive my ignorance, but how does steel get produced? I mean, is this something that gets mined or, I mean, it's No, I just want to know why China.
Not an engineer.
I just want to know, how China can do it so cheaply. And is this another reason why they want to colonize Africa so they can then.
So I think they can extract it out of the ground cheaper. So
it's
so
essentially it's a mining practice, really.
Yes, yes. And then they smelt it down there. So basically.
Sorry, I wasn't looking for temperatures and stuff.
Oh, good. Okay.
This one's the basic.
Okay. So basically, they break up the rocks, they melt it down, they extract the iron ore, the steel, the metal.
Okay. Of course, so
and then they sell it. Of course. So what we've got is very deep mines because we've been mining for hundreds of years, and they've probably got shallower mines, so it's easier to get to. That's the first thing. And then their labor is probably cheaper.
Well, yeah. it definitely is.
Yes. Yeah.
I think China are well known for the kind of labor practices that they
and then they implement.
If we're in China, one of us would be taking out steel right now.
God, not me. I'm too fragile. Please, not me. And then Pioneer, talk about something dodgy. Before I get to Pioneer Foods, Tongaat was up on the 21st of January. It was trading at 80 Rand 20. On Friday, it closed at 100 Rand 83. Cool. So that's what, 20% up in a couple of days? Now, there's no news. Now I'm suspicious. Because obviously something's going on. And Tongaat is the sugar play, which I've been waiting for months, almost a year now, for it to announce the sale of its land parcel in Umhlanga. And it hasn't done so. I've been very worried that management haven't been communicating with shareholders very well. And I just don't see why the share price should suddenly jump 25% in, 3 weeks? So I almost suspect something's going on there. If you, my suspicious nature coming out. Okay, and then Pioneer Foods released a trading update on Friday. Not great. Group turnover was up 8% year on year. I think, though, the market was expecting worse. So actually, the share price was up over 2% on Friday. So, yes, you know, the shares come down quite a bit. It had a little bounce on Friday. The results weren't great, but we weren't expecting much more out of it. They really are doing everything they can to sustain contain costs. But, you know, Pioneer are the guys who produce Sasco bread. Their groceries are Marmite, Bovril. They do this long-life fruit juices, so cereals. They do maize and all these things. So now you know where this is going, right? The drought, the price of wheat and all this. And that the issue wasn't so much Pioneer's, for me, Pioneer's results, but actually the read-through into where this is going. They've already said that they've put through some incredible price increases. So if you may or may not have noticed that the price of bread, price of maize meal has gone up. They have said that maize meal will eventually hit an increase of 80 to 90% this year.
Wow.
From starting August last year. So between August and sometime this year, maize is basically going to double.
Government haven't just slipped in a little tariff in here as well, huh? Like they do with the fuel.
So I think, actually we need to talk about that as well, but I think it's the other way around here because when Pioneer experiences these huge maize price increases, there's no way they can pass that on to the consumer. So I think government are going to have to subsidize maize or bread prices because
you would hope so, yeah.
There's just no way we can survive otherwise. The interesting thing, though, is that they also said they've seen no shift in carbohydrate consumption. So people are not moving from bread to potatoes or to rice, which is not as affected as the maize price, which I thought was quite interesting. They did say they've had the lowest rainfall since 1904. And, of course, don't forget the currency impact as well. So because we've had to import a lot of maize and we've had a weaker rand, that's also helped push the price up.
But now you say government subsidy. I mean, I think the government's getting a 200 million rand injection soon, aren't they?
From what? What are we talking? 200 million rand of?
Well, I think someone's going to pay back some money. So don't fret, maize consumers. I think we'll be all right.
Yes, yeah. I'd forgotten about that. Thanks for the reminder, Ben. So we can just use that to keep the price of bread lower.
And
that's
earlier
fine.
You mentioned a billion rand fine. Where does that money go?
The Competition Commission, yeah. That's,
what do they do with it?
Well, that's a good question. Ben, your math is getting very good. I keep forgetting to do this. Actually, I don't keep forgetting, but somebody, Jason Thorne, emailed us last week and said, why, if the price of oil is lower, are we not seeing the same correlation or the same move in the price of petrol? And last week we had so much to talk about, I didn't get around to it. So please, can I answer that question now? Mm. First off, the price of oil is only about 55 to 60% of your petrol price. And as that decreases, obviously you get your petrol price decrease. But there are fixed overheads. So the wholesalers, the retailers, and then government, of course.
Yeah, yes.
Yes, of course. And it's not, unfortunately, a percentage of the petrol price. It's actually a nominal amount. So it's a set amount. So let's say petrol was 10 rand and oil made up 6 rand and oil fell to 30 rand. Don't forget, we also have the currency, so a weaker currency because oil is priced in dollars. We're paying more because we're still paying rands, which has fallen against the dollar 30% about. And so the decline won't... So if the petrol price halves, if your oil price halves from, so 6 rand to 3 rand, you still have that extra 4 rand, so the petrol price doesn't halve.
Yeah.
So unfortunately, it's not a perfect correlation.
But there's all kinds of other little taxes that go onto it, because it's a volatile substance, so...
The fuel levy, and of course, transport costs.
Transport costs are a big deal, so when you're inland, you'll always pay more.
That's right, I had to answer that question.
Just quickly to you, before we get into any further, Anthea, Temba says, Anheuser-Busch, InBev, and Naspers are killing him right now. Is this ever going to turn around?
Yes, absolutely. Definitely. If you think, So these are all Rand hedge stocks, and if you think the Rand is going to stay weaker for longer, then it definitely will turn around.
Mm-hmm.
So as I said earlier on, because of what's going on in the U.S. and delayed rising hike, hiking rates.
Raising
hikes.
Yeah, thanks, well, you knew what I meant.
I saw.
The dollar has weakened, and so the rand has strengthened, and of course our rand hedges, our Naspers, our Mediclinic, our SAB Millers, Anheuser-Busch's do come off a bit. I would just hold on to those. I like those stocks. This is a long-term game.
You're never going to lose your shirt with them. Kind of thing.
Hopefully not.
So worry not, Timber. Worry not.
Yeah, it's all okay. It's all in hand.
Yeah.
And then the last thing, WBHO, Wolfs and Bailey Holmes, released a trading statement for the 6 months ended December. Headline earnings was up between 15 and 20%. Now, this is quite incredible because they're in the construction industry, which we've always said is struggling because they can't grow in a weaker economy. But I think partly because it's off a low base, and also at some stage these stocks get so beaten that they actually do become cheap. So I'm not saying go out and buy it. On a 12-month forward PE, it's still on about 8x, which is incredibly cheap. But I'd like to see things turn around a little bit more. I think their results on the 25th of February, so not next week or the week. Oh, it is next week. Wow, time flies.
Can you confirm if they've been using Chinese steel?
No, I
can't. Growth's got to come from somewhere.
Cheaper input costs could be, but I can't say for sure. But it's one. So now the interesting thing is like it's worth watching because at some stage these stocks will turn around. And in fact, I think they'll turn around before the economy does. So the minute we start seeing any glimmer of hope in a growing economy, we'll start buying these shares again because we always price forward. So we always price for the future and not for today.
Right.
And then that's me, really.
That's it. Monday, Anthea, thank you so much. If you didn't get all of it, sorry, you'll always get a podcast of The Money Shot. You get everything you want, actually, on cliffcentral.com. So you can always just recheck with that. Otherwise, Anthea will be back tomorrow on the Skype.
Yes, I'll chat to you guys tomorrow on Skype.
And Gareth will be back to talk to her. So first hour down, we've got Richmond Holland coming in. We've got news with Mubs. We've got Sia telling us secrets about his love life. Oh, what a morning we have here today. Thanks for joining us on this Monday. Catch you back after this. CliffCentral.com